time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Good morning, we're Rahel.
And Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel. Boker tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. You can hear us also on the internet at WSMNradio.com. So do tune in, WSMN 1590 AM. I hear some beautiful music.
Haydn?
Haydn. Let's listen for a minute. The music you're listening to is music being played by Eyal Kless and his Haydn Quartet. And they will be appearing this week, June 8 to 11, in Israel. So if you are in Israel this week, please be sure to go to the Maestro Festival in Ein Hod, which is our sister city, our New Hampshire sister city. The Maestro Festival in Ein Hod will offer music performed by some of Israel's top musicians, such as Eyal Kless, with chamber concerts, original Israeli pieces, dialogue between contemporary and classical music, concerts, musical plays for children and parents, dance performances, and this is all open to the general public. It also features exhibitions, lectures, workshops, theater performances, and nature tours. So if you're in Israel or going to be in Israel this week, make sure to visit the Maestro Festival in Ein Hod, that's up north, in a beautiful, beautiful area by the sea, the Mediterranean. And for more information about that, you can contact www.maestroeinhod.org.il. It's maestroeinhod.org.il. Beautiful music, isn't it? And by the way, these are some of the lesser known works by Haydn that they'll be performing. So it's pretty special. Sonia,
hi.
What do you say? Hebrew word for the day.
I say metavech, again metavech.
Metavech again, okay.
Yes. So, like we said, it's a person who acts as an agent for the sale and purchase of building and land, which is a real estate agent, but is also somebody who is acting as an arbiter between two sides or is arbitrary to release news, to give some information.
And I know why you're doing that word again.
Yeah.
Because we are fortunate again this week to have the same guest that we had last week, Mr. Barry Shaw, who is an author these days. He also works as a realtor. And when I get back to Israel, I'm going to call Barry to help me find a place in Netanya, maybe. I think maybe Ein Hod. I don't know that area. So anyway, Barry Shaw is an author. He's an author of a new book, which is entitled Israel Reclaiming the Narrative, which can be found at israelnarrative.com, which we're going to talk about mostly through this show. Barry was born in England. He's an Israeli citizen who's been living in Israel for over 30 years. He served in the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, and is the founder of the Netanya Terror Victims Fund, which he founded as a consequence of Palestinian terror attacks, including suicide bombings that were in his own hometown of Netanya that left many dead and more seriously injured. I remember those times, too. About America and Israel, the relationship, Barry states, we share the same enemies, though Israel is always the first to confront them. Israel is always first in line.
So true.
So true.
So mm-hmm. true, unfortunately.
So with that, we welcome back Barry Shaw, author of Israel Reclaiming the Narrative, Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
Or Tzoraim Tovim, Barry.
Boker Tov, Rachel. Shalom, Sonia. And shalom to your listeners.
Shalom. We're going
Can I start on a more positive note?
Yes, please, before we get into
I'm enjoying your music and your explanation of the Ein Hot Festival.
Which is near
and
you.
I'd love to go to that, but on Sunday, I'll be going to the Dead Sea to listen to Andrea Bocelli.
Oh,
really?
Appearing at Masada.
Wow.
They have
now in Masada, we have the opera Aida taking place there.
Oh,
but we're going there, and we'll be seeing Andreas Bocelli. I don't know if you like his music, and then spending some time at Kibbutz Ein Gedi.
Another brave soul who says Israel is a place to go. I don't know if he's a brave soul. Yeah. He's just a normal person who understands that Israel is worth going to, and Israelis are very appreciative.
We'll also be having later this month Bob Dylan.
Oh, right.
Followed in July by Paul Simon.
Oh, this is nice. This is the place to go.
I think we're missing out over here in New Hampshire. They're not coming here. So we need to go to Israel to see Paul Simon, Bob Dylan, Andreas Bocelli. What are we going to do?
And the Maestro.
And the Maestro Festival. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Things are happening here.
They're really happening. They're all good things. Excellent. It's good to look beyond this conflict and know that there's art, culture, real people
life.
Producing and life going
life.
On.
Beautiful mm-hmm. life.
Beautiful life.
Okay, let's go to our business.
And now back to the conflict. So, Barry.
I want to, first of all, let's start. Can I ask your listeners to get ready with a pen and paper? Because I'll be giving them some important information during the show.
Sure.
Sure. Listeners, did you hear that?
I also want to start off with your permission, ladies, by just clarifying some of my points from last week and certainly from this week, so they won't be misconstrued. None of my comments can be construed as any hatred for Arabs. In fact, in Israel, we have over 1 million Arabs in our free society. And many of them, of course, are leading members of our judiciary in culture, sports, and diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of Israelis obviously yearn for peace and want a mutually agreed solution to the conflict. So my comments that I made last week and also this week has to be placed in the context of having unified Palestinian leadership currently rejecting all peace talks, rejecting Israel as a Jewish state, and continuing to incite for a Palestinian state, not next to Israel, but in place of it. So
I'll interject here
in bike proportion.
I'll interject here with just something that my mother used to always say was a sort of saying for us as new olim, as new immigrants coming to Israel, that kol hatchala kasha, every beginning is difficult, but it gets better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Israel has always known wars and terror and concerns and threats to our legitimacy over the year, but at the same time, bear in mind that Israel is still developing as a nation, and when you look at Israel today with regard to its human rights record, its values, its modernity, it's still a bright shining star in a very dark neighborhood.
Absolutely. And I would say it's a shining star, not only in this dark neighborhood, but you can compare with a lot of proud Israel with a lot of other countries, modern countries in Europe. They do not have the same level of novelties, innovations, and whatever in science or in medicine or whatever. So we should be proud. And we are.
We are. In only a short 63 years, Israel has accomplished so much.
Exactly.
And contributed so much to the world. And in fact, has made great changes in this world for the good.
I received a letter from a non-Jewish person from Britain. And a couple of remarks I can tell you from the letter he sent to me was, Israel, what you were talking about is today, he wrote, is a world technological leader alone in the Middle East. And the expression he used was like a diamond in a sea of mud.
Yes. Okay. It's okay. Well, you know, speaking of the mud part, the muddiness, let's talk about the muddiness of language that's being used. What can you tell us about the language that sort of is journalists use, Palestinians use, the general Arab world is sort of hijacked a language, our English language, that we don't... the language that they're using doesn't really mean what we think it does.
Yeah, it stems from the Palestinian leadership, but it really is taken up by a lot of very active, super active radicals and extremists who promote the Palestinian cause. I gave a talk to the Conservatives congregation here in Netanya. And I described it that you have to understand really who is leading the assault on Israel's legitimacy and demonizing Israel. And it's an associated bunch of international socialists, Marxists, together with global Islamists, international Islamists, who share common goals, basically anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti the Western way of life, and of course, first of all, anti-Israel. And they use the Palestinian issue. The Palestinians, for them, are their, what I call the banner boys. You will be amazed. You see it less in America than you do in Europe. But wherever you look in Europe, you see the Palestinian flag. For them, it's not a national flag. It's extremely a banner for them as part of their campaign. And it's these people who are really turning the narrative, using the language against Israel. But they're very clever. They're very smart. They use the language of the liberal center of Britain, America, or whatever. And they use that language to condemn Israel. When, in fact, the sort of expressions they use are the ones that the Palestinians themselves, as well as those in the Arab world, are far, far guiltier of the these things than Israel. I'll explain that in a minute. Unfortunately, though, we're finding that this narrative is being adopted by people who should not even get close to this sort of narrative, even in America. And they include, I'm sad to say, a lot of American Jews. When for instance, Israel is repeatedly called a racist state, mm-hmm. an oppressive state. And this language is often echoed by people who should know better. And I always ask these people, when you hear these expressions against Israel, like racist, human rights abuses, apartheid state, ethnic cleansing, etc., really question them deeply. And why, on the one hand, really Israel a racist state? Really Israel really guilty of human rights crimes, ethnic cleansing? But on the other side, apply the same question to the Palestinians. And then judge for yourself fairly, openly, who are really the guilty parties for this? Who are the legitimate party and who is the illegitimate party? I, in my book, Israel Reclaiming the Narrative, and I've got the book in my hand right now, and I'm quoting from page 210, where I have a question here. Who are the racists in the Middle East? The Palestinian Arabs and their supporters constantly call us racists. It's part of their demonization campaign against Israelis. Let's see in the Middle East who the racists really are. And addressing this to the Palestinians and their supporters. You attacked us on all fronts on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. You sent your suicide bomber to massacre worshippers at Netanya's Park Hotel on Passover, what we call here the Passover Massacre. And I founded, as you rightly said, the Netanya Terror Victims Organization. You destroy the Jewish holy sites in Jerusalem and Joseph's tomb. You steal the Jewish heritage of the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron and Rachel's tomb near Bethlehem in the name of Islam. You desecrate the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. You drive out the Christians from that holy town. when Israel controlled Bethlehem, by the way, that the Christians there were 82% of the population. They're less than 15% today. So, just abbreviating what we're saying here, who are the racists in the Middle East? So that when people adopt the Palestinian narrative, including people who should know better, and I'm talking here about a number of American Jews and British Jews who say they support the Palestinian struggle out of Jewish moral values, they're really getting the narrative turned on its head.
Expand on that a little bit then. You know, we are living in America. We're two Israelis who are living here in America, and we are also Americans. But we see... We're baffled sometimes by the lack of support that comes from American Jews, there's a support, but it's in such a funny, misconstrued kind of way. We're having trouble seeing it as support. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Okay. Look, I'm going to give my book another plug. Look, my book, which you can get by going to the website, this is why you need the pen and paper, www.israelnarrative.com, Israel Reclaiming the Narrative. This is a book that is meant to inspire you to get involved. This is a book, really, that gives you the facts to better understand the dangers we're facing and the weapons that we can use in fighting for Israel. Unfortunately, what you were saying, some people who should know better who are adopting the Palestinian narrative are actually, they're called that by the international socialists, the useful idiots, who are by siding with them and attacking and feeling shameful about Israeli actions, are in fact using the weapons of our enemies against us. And so this is a book that will open the eyes of some misguided souls and hopefully make them change their mind. You know, I say to these people, please educate yourself to the issues and find your purpose in life to restore Israel. Help it reclaim the narrative, as my book title suggests. For to reclaim the narrative is really to enable Israel to regain the moral high ground where it rightly belongs.
Absolutely.
I'll give you, again... I had a conversation with a friend of mine, a guy called Ronan Gissin, who used to be a spokesman for the Israeli government. And he told me that nothing annoys him more than when he's in America and he's just come back from America, in talking to people who all they can say about Israel is they're ashamed to be a Jew because of Israel's occupation. Right. Well, basically, let's put aside, you know, whose land we're occupying. And let's put aside the fact that Israel, through repeated governments, like from Rabin, Peres, Ehud Barak, Ehud Olmert, now Bibi Netanyahu, always calling for direct negotiations, we're prepared to have a accommodation with the Palestinians, giving them land, helping support them, etc., etc. It's the Palestinians who have rejected these peace for us. But Ranan was telling me about when they talk about Jewish moral values as a way to reject Israel and saying that really that for them, Judaism is to do with moral values and religion and really nothing to do with any nationalism or Jews as a people. This talk annoys us because it denies me my rights to this land. This talk surrenders my rights in favor of a people who don't want us to exist at all. This conversation, this way of thinking, pulls the rag out from under our rights to the land, our legitimacy to the land. Look, let me put it this way. You know, our language in this land of Israel is Hebrew, which is a Jewish language. Mm-hmm. Our Jewish culture here, for which the calendar is replete with it, religious states and our belonging to the land. And the Bible itself not only talks about the history of Jewish sovereignty to the land, but if you take the Bible, it talks about the cultivation of the land, when to plant, when to harvest. That's from the Bible. It's not something that was written by the JNF, where some maybe progressives will say that's just a Zionist colonial organization. That was written 3,000 years ago. Right?
Exactly.
So I sometimes wonder if the Jews who say you know, Jewish moral values based on our religion, and they reject Jewish nationalism and Zionism and belonging to the land. I ask, you know, what do these people do when it comes to Pesach, when we say Shana Baba Yerushalayim?
Right.
Where is Jerusalem? What do they do if they go to a Jewish wedding when the groom stamps on the glass to commemorate the destruction of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem? What is that to these people? Is it some sort of distant Disneyland, you know, that has no relevance today?
The question that I think that I would like very much to ask is where you have been, those all the critiques against Israel, when Judea and Samaria was under the Jordanian control and Gaza was under Egypt control, and never mind that Sadat, President Sadat, didn't want anything to have to take over Gaza after we sign the peace treaty. So where those critics have been? Why they didn't say anything to King Hussein, and why they never said anything to all the figures, the political figures in Egypt? Why it's against Israel? Never mind that today Gaza it's not don't have any connection with Israel.
Look, we're suffering in Israel from an international campaign against us, where the demonization of Israel has gone way out of proportion. Mm-hmm. You know, Israel, with events that are going to happen to us, we're coming into the most critical 120 days of our history, I think. We're going to witness some of the most difficult experiences and challenges to our state. Not war, not terror, but actions and words that are going to shake us to the core. These actions and words really are designed to inflict a mortal blow to our already damaged legitimacy. Mm-hmm. Our enemies really have grown in confidence. They can taste blood and they're going for the kill. In the next few weeks, you're going to question the sanity of the world as Israel is attacked from all sorts of directions, while the Palestinians are going to be granted legitimacy. Now, if this would lead to peace and harmony, a two-state solution, that would be great. But it isn't going to lead to that. Listen to the Palestinian leadership themselves. Look at their unity between Fatah, who have said they never agreed to an Israeli, recognize an Israeli state, linking up with the Islamic terror regime of Hamas. So it's not going to happen. And this is, friends, a real strategic danger to Israel. And this is a time of anybody, particularly Jews, should be standing with Israel at this time.
Barry Shaw, author of Israel, Reclaiming the Narrative. We're going to cut out for a break for about 3 or 4 minutes, and we will be back on WSMN 1590 AM, Nashua's News and Talk, Israel. You're listening to music from Eyal Kless, who will be performing at the Maestro Festival in Israel, Ein Hod, and you can get information about that at www.maestroeinhod.org.il. That's maestroeinhod.org.il. Now, wouldn't it be really awesome if 100,000 people locally, actually millions of people internationally, knew about your business, your product, or your service? Wouldn't it be more amazing if your business were helping to stop hatred, terrorism, the demonization of Israel by supporting the good news about Israel? You can do this by sponsoring the Hebrew Word, the Torah portion, or even a weekly Israel Israel show. So take out your checkbook now. Barry Shaw said take out paper. We say take out your checkbook. Make a donation.
Paper.
Make a donation, advertise, sponsor a show, or even have us read a special greeting on a special occasion. By supporting Israel is Real, you make a world of difference. By loving Israel, you will make the world a better place. So write a check now to Absolute Broadcasting. Send it to our personal mailbox at Israel is Real, P.O. Box 236, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. Again, write the check to Absolute Broadcasting. Send it to our personal mailbox at Israel is Real, P.O. Box 236, Milford with one L, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. For more information, find us at on the web at www.israelisraelnh.com, ISRAELISRAELNH.com.
Who can challenge the rights of the Jews in Palestine? Good Lord, historically, it is really your country, said Yusef Daya al-Khalidi, mayor of Jerusalem in 1899.
Wow.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? And did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's email alerts and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
And this week, all around the world, Jews will be celebrating Shavuot. And they will be staying up all night to celebrate the receiving of the Torah in what's called the Tikkun Leil Shavuot. Locally here in New Hampshire, there will be a potluck dinner and Torah-thon, all-night study at Congregation Beitenu in Amherst. And that's right next to the Walmart there, if you're wondering. It's Tuesday, June 7th at 6:30 p.m. You can come and go as you like. Bring a dish. Come for a potluck dinner at 6:30. Bring a dairy, fruit, or grain dish for Shavuot. And we will be having study sessions with Rabbi Joshua Siegel, who's been a guest here, Paul Franks, Betsy Franks. We're going to read the Book of Ruth. We're going to talk about choosing Judaism, all sorts of really interesting subjects revolving around the Torah. Study sessions will continue into the night for as long as people want to stay. So for information about that, you can call 603-886-1633. You can also contact us here at Israel is Real by our website, israelisraelnh.com.
And have you heard the buzz? Rachel's music is touching hearts of listeners all around the world. To hear Rachel's unique sound and to book Rachel to perform for you live, just go to www.rachelmusic.net, which is www.rachelmusic.net.
Speaking of music, Beitenu World Coffee House will be presenting a solo concert of Jewish roots world music for all ages. Bruce Berger, Rebbe Soul, will be arriving on tour this week for an American tour. He'll be in New Hampshire on June 19th at 8 o'clock in the evening. Please visit rebbesoul.com. He's been a guest on our program twice already. He's got beautiful music. Jewish Roots World Music at Congregation Beitenu, the Beitenu World Coffee House. Again, you can find out more information at by calling 603-886-1633. You can also visit the website at Rebbesoul, R-E-B-B-E-S-O-U-L. Do come. It's an amazing concert. We're listening again to A.L. Kless. And this is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We're also on the internet at WSMNradio.com. And we are speaking today, this is Israel is Real. I'm Rachel.
And Sonia.
And we're speaking today again with Barry Shaw, author of Israel Reclaiming the Narrative. You can find it at www.israelnarrative.com, ISRAELNARRATIV.com. Barry Shaw, Israel Reclaiming the Narrative. Are you still here?
I'm here.
Enjoying the music, I'm sure.
Lovely. Yeah.
Let's talk, let's get back to our conversation. And I wanted to talk, we were talking about the muddiness of the language being used, and let's talk about crimes. Crimes against humanity, all sorts of crimes. What is this in the Middle Eastern mind? How do crimes look, and how is that compared to the words that we use for crimes and how we understand crimes?
Well, it's the tactics and the narrative. You've really got to understand that if, for instance, we go back to what I said in the first half of the show, that the people who are ganging up on Israel are the same people who are ganging up on America as well. They're, again, repeating the international socialists, the Marxists, the radicals, the international Islamists, who have a simple slogan that... white ain't right and strong is wrong. And they can project, as I mentioned before, the Palestinians are the weak and the oppressed. So, as Bernadette Dorn, have you heard of Bernadette Dorn, husband of Kenneth Ayers?
Yes.
She's one of the patrons of the next Gaza flotilla.
Is she?
She has an expression where she said, and she said a couple of times, you're either for the oppressed or you're for the oppressor. Well, I've got news for Miss Dawn. You know, I'm for the oppressed, because we feel in the Middle East here, you just look on the map, we in Israel are the ones who are being oppressed. But however, if you understand the logic of the international socialists and Islamists who use the Palestinians as their champion cause, whatever the Palestinians do, whether it's suicide bombers, whether it's rockets on our towns, whether it's any form of terror, whether it's capturing and keeping Gilad Shalit isolated for 5 years, all their acts can be excused and justified because, after all, they're weak and they're oppressed.
Yes.
Also, because all these, their suffering has been induced by a brutal Israeli regime. So they get a free pass.
However, this isn't actually so.
Anybody else, you know, would be condemned.
This the oppression that they speak of isn't actually oppression by Israel. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the charters from the Palestinian Authority and the Hamas. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this gets to part of the key of why I say, sadly, that we're not heading for peace and a two-state solution. Nothing that's coming from the Palestinian side indicates they're conditioning their people for peace and alongside the state of Israel. Rather than their ultimate ambition is a Palestinian state all over the area, including where Israel is today. And as you say, if we're going to charters, there are two charters. There's one that belongs to the Palestinian National Council, the so-called moderates of the Palestinian world. And their Article 2, anybody that's got the book or will get the book on page 77, says any Palestinian state will be within the boundaries it had during the British Mandate as an indivisible territorial unit. So the British Mandate goes back to 1920, starting then. So basically the whole of Palestine. Where is that? Again, in their charter, Article 19 talks about the partition of Palestine in 1947 and the establishment of the State of Israel are entirely illegal, regardless of the passage of time, because they were contrary to the will of the Palestinian people. So, in other words, Israel has no right to exist and no right to any self-determination. Their Article 20 on page 79 of the book, which you can get at www.israelnarrative.com, says claims of historical or religious ties of Jews with Palestine are incompatible with the facts of history and the true conception of what constitutes statehood. And then they start defining, and this is for our Jewish friends among the listeners, they say Judaism, being a religion, is not an independent nationality. So basically, any progressives over there are agreeing with the Palestinian Authority. Nor do Jews constitute a single nation with an identity of its own. They are citizens of the states to which they belong. So basically, it's a modified version of... the last time I think I as a Jew were categorized and defined was by Nazi Germany. I don't want to define what I am as a Jew by a Palestinian Authority, which has Hamas in it. Now, that is the... there are just some examples from the so-called moderate charter of the Palestinians, and we haven't yet gone on to the Hamas charter, which, if I go to that, Article 7 of the Hamas charter says, the time will not come until Muslims will fight the Jews and kill them, until the Jews hide behind the rocks and trees, which will cry out, O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, come on and kill him. There's a quote from the Quran.
This is a great basic...
Article 15 is the jihad for the liberation of Palestine is an individual obligation. Jihad has become a duty binding on all Muslims. In order to face the usurpation of Palestine by the Jews, we have no escape but from raising the banner of jihad. So, any liberal friends who are siding with the Palestinians at this time against Israel, just be aware of what you're siding with. And I would ask you that critical question. Whose side are you really on?
I think that question is getting asked quite often when you look at those who support, and I'm not saying negatively, I think it's a good thing to support human rights and all of those good things. But what you have to really look closely, as you say, Barry Shaw, author of Israel Reclaiming the Narrative, you have to look very closely at what you're really supporting, because it's not what you think it is all the time, it seems.
Yeah. Can I just echo what you just said?
Please.
I indicated in my book, and I indicated my talks, that we've had this scenario in the past where people were saying, well, Hitler doesn't really want to do that. He simply wants to reestablish self-respect and self-reliance for the German people and give them employment. Yeah, we know he wrote a book, Mein Mein Kampf, but that's his right thing. You don't have to take any notice of that. And the world ignored that, and they're ignoring it today. And we've got a situation now, even more radical than the situation then, where a lot of Jews, people who should know better, are siding with our enemies when this is their motivation today. And they say, well, they don't really mean it, and you shouldn't take any notice of the charter, and they'll change it, and, you know, if we sprinkle a bit of water on Hamas, it won't be an Islamic terrorist organization, we'll make it kosher, don't worry, and a unity with the Palestinian Fatah will soften them and moderate them, etc. But it's not the Jews in New Hampshire that are in danger. It's me here in Netanya and my kids in Kfar Yonah and Yan Yavna and these other places. It's our necks on the line.
And I want to tell you,
just like with Nazi Germany, the same with the Palestinians. I said this at the time years ago when I started the Netanya terror victims, and I began to wonder what the heck is carrying on. And I mentioned it last week. Just let me repeat it one final time. It's best to believe what your enemy is telling his own people rather than the nonsense he's telling the Western media, because the truth lies in what he's telling his people and how he's preparing and conditioning his people for what sort of future. And in the Palestinians' case, it is not a two-state for two people living side by side in peace and security. It is a one Palestinian state in unity, Fatah and Hamas, for the elimination of the Jewish state of Israel. And if you can side with that evil, not with the good that is Israel, I'm afraid you're not on my side. Shame
Barry,
on you.
Barry Shaw, author of Israel reclaiming the narrative. I want to ask, just, you know, relating to what you just said, you know, we are very alert and aware, and we, I can speak for myself, I guess, that I really do a lot of researching, and I look at all sides of the equation. I look at whatever resources are available, and I see and I hear the language and the words that these leaders are saying to their own people. And then I hear the other side of what they're saying to Western minds. But I'm not sure that the words that they're saying to their own people are actually being heard. And I don't know if, you know, you wanted to talk about lawfare, you know, about what's being said. How do people actually hear their side, that the things that they're saying to their people? Because people are not doing as much research, I don't think, as I am. And they're not hearing all of those things. So I think they tend to believe what they're hearing.
Whether we're going to have time on your program to talk about what, in fact, the Palestinian leaderships in their various forms are telling their own people, from the children to their own people, and how they're conditioning them. But their education is based on radical language, which is being taught in the schools. And the kids go to sports camps and summer camps. All these summer camps and sports camps are named after Palestinian terrorists and suicide bombers. When they tell their own people again, my book is replete about how they tell their own people about, and on their television programs and in their mosques and in their schools and in their newspapers, that parts of Israel, in fact, realize that it doesn't exist. That Israel is, for them, is Palestine of the interior. Israeli Arabs are Palestinians of the interior. There is nothing there that conditions their people for a peaceful future. There's two ways I want to go here, but you mentioned the law. Just as my book is what you call a prosecution of the Palestinian, because the truth needs to be exposed. Listen, if they were talking about peace and harmony and just one state of their own next to Israel, there would be nothing to write about. They'd have the state tomorrow, but it's not. That's hence the book. But the danger over there is the danger of the assault on Israel. Things, as I mentioned to you, are going to happen over the next few weeks or months that are going to scare the living daylights out of you. And one of the things that I'm involved in, not only is what I call aggressive Hasbara, which is going on the attack and really naming and shaming our enemies, but also I have a meeting next week on a particular university to put a think tank together, because I'm involved with people like lawyers and groups for Israel abroad who are trying to tackle the most radical demonization of Israel, the slander, the lies that they're telling of Israel, the threats to anybody trying to speak on behalf of Israel. And there has to be a legal tactic. There has to be something we have to do in legal terms against the hate education in Palestinian schools and on their kids' programs. There has to be something that we can do internationally where freedom of speech is being challenged whenever a pro-Israel speaker wants to speak on a campus or somewhere. We need an international conference, probably here in Israel, of the major international lawyers who can put a guide and introduce a strategy and clarity into how Israel and people who support Israel can go out there and fight these people who are slandering and lying the Jewish state and demonizing us and advancing the delegitimization of Israel. This think tank should also be advising governments, NGOs, universities worldwide on legal positions that can be adopted in order to stop the hate language that is being applied to Israel.
And I want to bring up the issue of involvement about, you know, it's very important that people start becoming involved and doing more, as you said, the aggressive Hasbara, the aggressive publicizing of what's really going on, of the truth, of the realities on the ground, and not the myths that are being propagated. So can you tell us how people can do that?
Yeah, there are only three forms of diplomatic action that could be taken for Israel. There's diplomacy, which is government to government. There's what's called public diplomacy, which basically in the past has been government to NGOs and people like that. But increasingly, there are grassroots individuals and organizations and activists who are now trying to speak up and tackling certain local issues on behalf of Israel. And these people need support. Actually, Israel needs more support itself. And if you, any of your listeners, really want to get involved in various issues, and I'll come to them in a second, I invite them again. This is why you need your pen and paper. Make contact with me. Tell me who you are, and I'll link you up with either organizations and here in Israel or even in the States, and send you information, whatever you need. And so email me at israelnarrative@gmail.com. That's israelnarrative@gmail.com. And we will link you up, and we need... these people will eventually need some sort of budgets for posters, advertising campaigns, using the same sort of tactics that the Hate Israel bunch are using everywhere. But that could come later. We need really to have you put your hand up and say, I want to get involved. And one way would be to contact me, and I will pass you over to the various groups and individuals who can help and get you involved in speaking up, making your voice heard for Israel.
Very
there are various campaigns. We had one in Seattle not long ago, and I'm over here in Israel, where a group of pro-Palestinians had an advertising campaign they wanted to put on Seattle buses. And the adverts read, your tax dollars are paying for Israeli war crimes. We managed through a campaign to get that advertising campaign taken off. While we were looking also at the legal aspect of suing in an American court, the organization that put that campaign and budgeted it in the first place, because Israel has never been found guilty of any war crimes whatsoever. And we wanted to have a test case in American court, but the Seattle municipality had the common sense to withdraw that advertising campaign before it got to that.
Barry Shaw, we're going
similar in Scotland, by the way, where they've now got a boycott on Israeli goods, including a ban on Israeli books.
Barry, we have to cut you short because we've come to the end of the program. So I want to thank Barry Shaw from Israel Reclaiming the Narrative. And he's got very, very important, it's a very important book. I highly urge everybody to get a hold of it at israelnarrative.com. And also to speak with Barry personally, I'm sure you can Skype him. You can invite him for a speaking tour, for an interview, by going to israelnarrative@gmail.com. And Barry Shaw, we thank you so much for coming on, and we will stay in touch with you, and we will point people your way.
Okay.
Thank you
for your help, Rachel. Shalom, Rachel and Sonia, and shalom to you, to the listeners.
Shalom, kutuv.
In our Torah portion this week, Naso, the Torah tells us how God commands Moshe to count the Jews. When commanding Moshe to count the Jews, the Torah uses the word Naso. The word Naso can also mean to uplift. It is therefore possible to understand the verse in the following spirituality uplifting way. God is giving Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, the power to uplift the Jews. Since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, God has appointed in every generation of tzaddikim, the exceedingly righteous, to lead Klal Israel, the entire nation of Israel. Just as God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the power to uplift the children of Israel, so too does God give the spiritual leaders of every generation the power to uplift Jews.
We're Rachel and Sonia. This is Israel is Real. Our theme song, Hinei Matov, is by Rachel, R-A-H-E-L, music.net. We're on the air every Friday, 10 to 11 in the morning on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We'd like to thank our guest today, Barry Shaw, author of a very important book we highly urge you to find, Israel Reclaiming the Narrative, available at israelnarrative.com, israelnarrative.com. And thank you, Shabbat Shalom from Israel is Real.
טוב ומה נעים שבת התים גם יחד.